Rabotai, we are studying today Parashat Korah. Rashi right away tells us Parasha Zu Yafen Nidreshet. This Parasha is well documented in the Midrashim. There's a lot of Midrash on this Parasha. Yafen Nidreshet. It's well expounded in the eyes of the Hazal. But the Ben Ish Chai tells us a little differently. It says that unfortunately the parasha of Korach is well relevant even to the modern day. Parashat Korach still goes on in the modern day, which is was a political situation where Korach waged a mutinous rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, and there was fighting, and there was all sorts of factions and mahloket. So unfortunately, Rashi right away says, Parasha zu yafen nidreshet. Unfortunately, this parasha is all well too known to the people. Like the Pasuk says, Uvne Korach lo metu. The sons of Korach did not die. The sons of Korach, our tradition tells us, made teshuvah. They bailed out at the last moment as they were going down into the ground, into the sinkhole. So the last minute they made teshuvah and they were saved. So the sons of Korach did not die. But the Ben Ish Chai explains that the children of Korach live on. Those are those people that are, they live on politics. They live on fighting. They live on creating disunity and disharmony. So although Korach might not be around today, but a lot of his descendants, Uvne Korach lo metu. You know, there was one time a fight in the synagogue between different factions that were fighting with each other. Like happens in the synagogue many times. Yeah. It's I said what happens is when people come out of synagogue, the way they greet each other is first guy says to his friend, "What happened in shul today?" And then the answer to the other guy is, "You missed it." Now they're not talking about Musaf, Mikol Ram, or the drive. They're talking about there was some type of action between people. So the rabbi said, the children of Korach are still alive today. They're keeping the fire and the fueling the machloket. Our rabbis tell us that Korach's end was not good. Korach ended him and his children and all his material assets all got swallowed in the ground. It's one of the most unusual deaths that anybody ever had. The Torah actually calls it Biriyah Hadasha. It was a new creation of some sort that we haven't seen it since, where the ground should open up to such a degree and swallow Korach. Our rabbi's Hatam Sofer says a lot is in the name. We have to be very careful when we name our children that the names that we name them are good Jewish names, because a lot of times if the name is the wrong name, that can have an influence on the person's life. That's why we only name after tzaddikim. You're not allowed to name somebody after a rasha, chas v'shalom. He said, big deal, it's just an association. No, it's a spiritual association. When the person is named after a rasha, he connects to the rasha, and that has a negative influence on the person's soul. For example, there's a Gemara that says there was a rabbi, his name was Rava Bar Ephron. Rava, the son of Ephron. So comes the Tosafot on the page, and Gemara Megillah says, cannot be Rava's father was Ephron, because Ephron was a gangster. Ephron was a shyster. He was the one that sold Avram Abinu the Me'arat HaMachpelah for free. He told him, I don't want nothing, it's on the house. And then at the end, he took $250,000. You can pay him in cash before delivery. So Ephron was a gangster. So he says, there's no way that the rabbi would have named the child Ephron. So he says, you have to change his name to Ophran. That was probably his name. So you see, the rabbis could not tolerate somebody with a bad name. Says the Hatam Sofer, Korach is not the first time you see the name in the Torah. Korach's name is mentioned one other time in the book of Bereshit. $10,000. Can anybody find the word Korach in the book of Bereshit? payable by the foundation.
Committee of Ohel Yaakov.
Right, committee. You're going to wait for the committee of Ohel Yaakov. You're going to wait for a long time. No interest is going to have to accrue. So if you open up, gentlemen, at the end of the Perashah Vayishlach, just a trivia question. It's good to know these questions over here. The end of the Perashah Vayishlach, over there, it's listing all the different chieftains of Esav. Esav, a bunch of Indian chiefs he had that came out of him.
Right,
all the Alufs of Esav. So if you look at Pasuk Tet Zayin is correct. Page 194, just to make it easier, to save time.
Sixth line, third word.
Thank you, Gabe. The Torah tells us that one of the chieftains of Esav, his name was Aluf, meaning chieftain Korah. So therefore, that's a bad name. Korah was one of the gangsters of Esav's family. So the Hatam Sofer says, already Korah started on the wrong foot. Vayikach Korah. Korah took his name. His name was already working against him because he was connected to already the Rasha. The Gemara says, a famous episode where there was a great rabbi called Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir used to check names. That was his item. Rabbi Meir Badik Bishma. He would check names. So one time they checked him to a hotel. So when they got into the hotel, the rabbis, it was Shabbat, coming Shabbat, so the rabbis wanted to put their money in the hotel's vault. So they wanted to give it to the clerk at the desk, and he's going to put it in the vault, and what's Shabbat, they'll come pick up their money. So Rabbi Meir says to the clerk, what's your name? The guy says, Kidom. He says, sorry, Rabbi Meir turns to the rabbis, the guy's a crook, don't give him the money. That's a crook. Why is the guy a crook? Because his name is Kidom. You're being a little exaggerating. They gave him the money. They give him the money. Motzei Shabbat, they come to Kidor. Mr. Kidor, we have our money back. He says, what money? What money? We gave you money before Shabbat. We put it in the vault. I don't know what you're talking about. We don't have a vault here. I'll see you later. Just jump in the lake. So they go to the Bimeir. They said, how did you know? I told you, the guy's no good. The guy's name is Kidor. And the Pasuk says in the Torah, Kidor, Tahpuchot, Emma. It's a topsy-turvy generation, banim lo emun bam, children that have no trust. You can't trust Kidor. The guy's got Kidor. How can he be good with a name like Kidor? So therefore, you see over here that there's a lot in the name. The holy books bring down. That's what it means. Shema Garim, that the name, even when you name after a certain relative, the relative has a certain quality, that child that's named after that relative will have a certain tendency or a certain leaning towards that midah. That's what's always important to name after people that were known to be tzaddikim and not the shaykh. But Nafhidah just points out, but if the name is a good name in essence, even though the person, let's say, that he might be named after is not a good guy. For example, let's say the guy's grandfather was David. And the guy was a known criminal. But the word David's a beautiful name. It's a good name. So therefore, it's okay as well. In any event, Korach's name did not serve him well. Now, if you look at the parasha continues and tells us that in Perek Tetzayin Pasuk Bet, Vayakumu Lefne Moshe, it says when Moshe Rabbeinu came to the group that was fighting against him, they stood. Vayakumu Lefne Moshe. So that sounds like they have respect for him. You know, like a rabbi walks into the room, so you stand up. So it's a little strange that his nemesis, Korach, and all his cohorts would give Moshe such a kavod. On the contrary, it should be their opinion to try to stifle the kavod of Moshe Rabbeinu, not to stand up for him. So why does the Pasuk say, Vayakumu Lefne Moshe? Why were they so generous to give him that kavod for standing up for him? So Rav Chaida comes along and says, halakha like this. Halakha says that when the chief rabbi walks in, even though he's not your personal rabbi, but he's the Gadol Ador, he's the rabbi of the entire world, halakha says you have to stand not within four amot. Normally when a regular rabbi walks in, once he gets into the four amot zone, it's within 8 feet, he's supposed to stand up. However, the chief rabbi, which means the Gadol Ador, you have to stand up once he's in eye shot. Once already able to see him, so he's 50 feet away, everybody stands up. Moshe Rabbeinu obviously had the status of Gadol Ador. They really were supposed to stand up for him from far away. Comes the Pasuk over here and says, Vayakumu Nifne Moshe. They only stood up when he came in front of them. which means that was a zinger. They wanted a zing Moshe. You're a regular guy. You're not like anybody else. You're a rabbi. We're not going to take that away from you. Be it. You're religious. Don't, that you have. But you want to consider yourself the chief. You're not the chief. So that was part of their political argument. This was a statement. They weren't standing up for him out of respect. This was part of the item. Yeah, you're a rabbi, but you're not chief rabbi. So that's why they waited for Yakumu Lifne Moshe. They treated him like everybody else. Furthermore, one of the claims that Korach had, the argument that he brought to the table, amongst many arguments that he had, was the argument of Talit. He brought Moshe Rabbeinu a Talit that was all Techelet. It was all blue. So he told Moshe Rabbeinu, does this garment over here need Sisiyot? Now, how did the rabbis know that his argument was on Sisiyot? Because the last parasha we just read was Parashat Sisiyot. Parashat Shelach. So there has to be a connection between Sisiyot and Korach. So that we ended up with Sisiyot as a Vayikach Korach. What did Korach take? He took Parashat Sisiyot. So he comes along and he shows Moshe Rabbeinu a big blue Sisiyot over there, a garment. He says, you have to put strings on him. Moshe Rabbeinu says, of course you got to put strings on him. It's a four-cornered garment. What do I care what color it is? So Korach starts cackling like a chicken. He starts laughing. He says, what kind of foolishness is this over here? If the halacha says normally there's 8 strings on the Sisiyot, 7 are white, 1 is blue. So if one blue string is able to porter the Sisiyot, all the more so if the whole thing is blue, certainly you shouldn't have to put the strings on it. This was his warped argument. But the question is, what does this have to do with his mahlok? Obviously he's going to try to bring a halachic argument that supports his political purpose. So what does that have to do with his argument? So basically what he was trying to say is, you're looking at Sisiyot from your vantage, Moshe Rabbeinu, that everybody's a white string, and therefore you're the blue string, which means you need somebody stands out, somebody's different. Korach's claim was, everybody's equal, Moshe Rabbeinu. You're not better than anybody else over here. So therefore when he brought the Techelet Talet, he was showing them the whole Kahal is Kadosh over there. Therefore, you have no right to elevate yourself over the Sibur. And that's why if you look at the Ta'amim, boys, look at the Ta'amim now. Let me show you a Hadush over here. Vayikach Korach. What are the Ta'amim on Vayikach Korach? Shofar Olech Zakef Katon. Vayikach Korach, no? Vayikach Korach. Under the Vayikach Shofar Olech. Correct? Over the Korach is what? Zakef Katon. Those are the names of the Ta'amim. So the Mefarshim say over here, like this. One of the claims of Korach was, besides that he wanted to become... But what drove Korach to this level? What drove Korach to this level was, he saw an appointment of his younger cousin. Korach had an uncle called Uzi'il. The Kehat, Amram, the Yitzhar, Hebron, the Uzi'il. Okay? Uzi'il had a son, Elisaphan, and Elisaphan had a son, Mishael. Mishael ben Elisaphan ben Uzi'il. So he was appointed, his younger cousin, to become the tribal leader. Korach felt that he was snubbed. How do you choose a younger cousin over me? He thought he's going to get the position. So that was one of the things that irked Korach, amongst a lot of things that irked Korach. But the jealousy that an appointment was made from a younger family member, that was to the world relatives. Moshe Rabbeinu and Korach were first cousins. They were from the same tribe. However, once he saw that the appointment was made by the younger cousin, so that already affected him. So he was screaming to everybody, look, Moshe's a nepotist. Moshe Rabbeinu was choosing who he wants, and they, you know, he's skipping over me. So the Pasuk says, Vayikach Korach Shofar Holech. He was walking around like a shofar. What does your shofar do? It broadcasts. It makes a lot of noise. Shofar Olech. He's going around screaming. What is he screaming? Zakef Katon. Look what Moshe Rabbeinu did. He took the Katon, he took the small guy, my small younger cousin, and Zakef. He elevated him. Shofar Olech, Zakef Katon. So you see the Ta'amim themselves actually allude to what Korach exactly was saying. One of his claims was, what are you skipping over me over here? Follow the protocol. Shofar Olech, Zakef Katon. Furthermore, our rabbis tell us that there was a an amazing concept that you see in life. In life, a person will notice, this is a test from God, obviously, a person will be challenged by people where his biggest strength lies. Wait till again what I'm saying. It's a very important concept. People will humiliate you the area that you are most proficient at, because that's the place where it hurts the most. I'll explain it to you. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble of men. That was his strength. And we're not going to take anything away from Moshe Rabbeinu, but one thing we know, when you think of Moshe Rabbeinu, he's synonymous with humility. Ve'ish Moshe Anab. So you want to claim anything on Moshe Rabbeinu, but one thing you can't claim, that he's arrogant. That's already, everybody knows Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble of men. And what's Korach's claim to Moshe Rabbeinu? Umadua titnaseu al kehal Hashem. Why are you overpowering? Why are you overbearing? Why are you dominating? At all claims. That's what you're claiming, Moshe Rabbeinu is a ga'ava. Umadua titnaseu. Now why does God make it like that? Because that's the test to see how you're going to react. Which means, if they come along and tell you something that you're not good at, okay, that doesn't bother you. If somebody would come to me and tell me, Rabbi, I saw the way you throw a softball. You can't throw a softball for your life. It doesn't affect me so much. I don't profess to be a softball player. I don't profess to be so good in baseball and all that. It's okay. So I'm a little insulted, but it doesn't bother me that much. But if somebody comes along and tells me, by the way, we heard the way you give a class, you don't know what you're talking about. So that already, I think I know a little. So that already, that's going to hurt you, because what supposedly is the strength of a person. So that's the test of God to see how you're going to react at that, because nobody, you'll get angry from that. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't react from this claim. What? Moshe Rabbeinu should say, what? That's what you're claiming. You just read what we wrote in the Torah a couple of weeks ago. Moshe Anab Me'od. Who wrote that pasuk? God told me to write that pasuk. I'm the most humble of guys. Now you come along and tell me I'm a gather. But on the contrary, who proved to us the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu? Korach.
Oh, poor Korach.
Which means Korach crystallizes to us how humble Moshe Rabbeinu really is. Because what's Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction? He doesn't react to it. He reacts to the issue. He doesn't react to the personal slight. By the way, that's a big slight, by the way. You go to Babe Ruth and tell him, by the way, Mr. Ruth, you're a great guy, but you can't hit a baseball for your life. The guy, Babe Ruth, he'll eat the guy like an alligator. He'll eat him up for dinner. You're going to come along to him and hit a baseball? So you're coming to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, by the way, Moshe, in all due respect, but you're a little haughty. You know, you have a little gaba, like you're a megalomaniac. You love power. Moshe Rabbeinu should take Korach and wring his neck. You're a shamir, out of all the things you're going to come, he's a megalomaniac, a power-hungry man. Do you know that God called me? Moshe Rabbeinu, he doesn't react to the personal claim. So who proves to us how humble Moshe Rabbeinu is? Korach. He pushes his button, and he doesn't react. So therefore, scale him in Zvot Korach. Thank you. Like the Gemara said today, the Daf Yomi, Umine, from the question, that's where you get the answer. The answer's from Korach itself. I saw once a derasha like this. Throughout the whole argument, the argument really has to do with Aharon as well. Aharon keeps quiet. Aharon does not react to the whole, even though Korach is saying that Aharon's not worthy to be a Kohen. I'm really supposed to be the guy. The Ramban says Aharon's reaction is really silent throughout the whole thing. That's credit to Aharon's nature. Aharon was Ohev Shalom, Verodev Shalom. He was a peacemaker. Aharon did not get involved in the machloket himself. The Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Korach, Ve'aharon nahu, italinu alav. What do you want from Aharon that you're complaining? Aharon nahu, italinu alav. What do you want from him that you're leveling complaints? He didn't choose the position. This was a position from God. So what do you want from Aharon? So I saw once the Gemara says like this. A person is judged three things. You want to judge a person, the Gemara gives us the litmus test. If you want to know what a human being is, there's three ways you can tell who a human being is. So, koso, kaso. Give a person a little to drink. When a person's sober, you can't tell who he is. Because when you're sober, you can control who you are. You're able to fake it. You're able to sketch around. Give a person a little drink. And all of a sudden, you open them up. All of a sudden, you see the real animal surface. Nichnas yayin, yes, that's sober. The wine goes in, all the secrets of a person comes out. So, kiso. So is his pocket. Till it comes to the person's pocket, everybody's cordial, everybody's nice. But his pocket, forget it, you got electrocuted. Everybody
He puts his hand in his pocket, he comes out already like with leprosy. You see exactly how generous he is. Does he give? Does he donate? Like the pasuk says, Ish, you want to measure a person? Kematenat yado. Ish kematenat yado. According to the way a person gives, that's the way you're able. There's some guys, a kamsan. He's a tightwad. You can't get a dollar out of him. There's one guy, he was drowning in the water. He's a tightwad. He's a kamsan bar kamsan. He's drowning in the water, so they want to save him. So the lifeguard goes and says, give me your hand. Guy hits, give me your hand. He don't want to give anything. So he says, give me your hand. So the guy tells him, no, he doesn't respond to that. Let me go in there. Take my hand. Oh, take my hand. And the guy puts it down. The guy's a kamsan. He doesn't have it. He can't even give his own hand to save his life. In any event, you see over here, there was one time there was a kamsan. But you wouldn't know it. You don't even see it at the time that it happens. What happened? The guy's sitting, eating. All of a sudden, he starts to choke. Choking on a bone. So there's a doctor that comes over there and gives him the Heimlich maneuver. He saved his life. So the stingy guy says, how much are you going to charge me now for this 20-second procedure that you do? So the doctor says, just give me half the amount you were willing to give me when the bone was lodged in your throat. When you were choking, just give me, how much were you willing to give me half for that? The guy says, come on, you don't want to give nothing over here. So the way you judge a person also, one time there was a kamsan order. So the guy wants to get the quarter. He doesn't want everybody to take it. He's a kamsan. He runs 8 flights down. He runs to the lobby. He runs through the door of the lobby. He's looking on the ground. You don't see the quarter. He's looking. He don't find it. All of a sudden, he feels, boom. He looks on his head. The quarter fell on his head. He beat the quarter down over there. Kamsan. It's according to each guy according to his way. Then the Gemara says, to, koso, and kaso. Get a person angry. Then already able to tell what the guy's all about. Awesome. Get him a little nervous. Then already you see, again, not animal. You see a different. Now, Korach, he wants to prove that Aharon is not worthy. Korach has a problem. He can't test him because Kohanim are not allowed to drink. Therefore, he can't expose Aharon, who he is, from the drink. He can't expose him from his pocket because Aharon HaKohen was a very wealthy man. Torah says anybody that becomes Kohen Gadol, one of the reasons why they call him Gadol is not only because of his high stature, but because he's a wealthy man. And it says, or Gadleu Meshil Ehav. The brothers, the family of the Kohen have to make sure that the Kohen is very wealthy. So therefore, you can't touch him with his money because he had so much money. Therefore, it was no problem for Aharon to be generous because it's not even his money. He's getting the money from the people, so it's easy. Whatever he's going to give, he's going to get much more. So the only way that Korach can test Moshe, can test Aharon is what? On the Ka'as, to get him angry. So therefore, he comes along and starts, hey, he's not worthy. What is he? He's trying to push his buttons. He wants Aharon to blow up and say, I'm not worthy. Who the heck are you? I'm this. I'm better than you. I did. I went. I was in Egypt for 80 years. Where were you? You just surfaced. You woke up. You're born again. He wanted to entice him to show a bad side of Aharon. So not good. I could say, you see the guy? You see this guy over here? You just criticize him at all. The guy's a Mishnu. The guy's a volcano. The guy erupted all over us over here. What do you want to do now with this guy? So Moshe Rabbeinu tells Korach, Ve'aharon mahu, you want to see what Aharon is? Mahu, what is he made up? Kitalinu alav. Just complain against him and see his reaction. There, you see it, Kaso. Koso, you can't test. Kiso, you can't test. The only thing you're going to be able to test is what? Kaso. That's when you're going to see Aharon. Ve'aharon mahu, you want to see what Aharon is? Kitalinu alav. Go, complain against him. You see the guy flipping out? You see the guy reacting. You see the man Bayet. Is he shouting? Is he losing his coolness? You see, on the contrary, Korach, from your claims, you've only proven to us why Aharon is the chosen one from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But we go a little further. The pasuk says that the Ramban actually says Korach was a very very wise man. He had these claims all the way back. From an eight. The appointment must have made in this week's meeting. You know, many moons ago, when they appointed Aharon to be the Kohen Gadol and Eli Safan to become the tribal. Asked the Ramban, why did Korach wait until this Perashat Ban says to show you what it was, what a trouble man. Moshe Rabbeinu, quintessential leader of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was Lehavdi, like the wild card for the Jewish people. Anytime the Jewish people got into trouble, they go to Moshe Rabbeinu, he bails them out. You had the machloket with the Egel, the whole episode over there. God vowed, I'm going to destroy all the Jewish praise. He saves the day.
He goes up to the Shamayim 40 days, 40 nights. Another 40 days, 40 nights. He brings them down a second set of Luchot. So Moshe Rabbeinu's popularity amongst the people was very, very high and very strong. And it was untouchable. Korach was a wise man. He knew if he's going to challenge Moshe Rabbeinu, he's not going to get the support of the people. But Korach, like any politician, he waits. He waits for the moment of vulnerability. And once he sees there's a little moment of weakness in Moshe Rabbeinu, he capitalizes on it. So that's waiting, which means he had this plot in his system for many moons. But he waited to capitalize. And when does he capitalize? Right after the debacle of the spies. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu now finds himself sending spies. The spies come back with a malign report. What happens? God vows to kill all the generation of the Midbar. Nobody's going into Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu cannot overturn the decree. Already the sentiment against Moshe Rabbeinu was negative. Hey, Moshe, what happened over here? We got to handle it. You can't handle it. It's a seal. What do you mean sealed? What about the ankle? Yeah, I can't handle it. The item's over. So Korah already said, oh, now already the people are murmuring. Now already the people, they're not so pro-Moshe Rabbeinu. Which when they took the Gallup poll that week on Moshe Rabbeinu, in the Quinnipiac survey, it was already not, he wasn't holding again by 100% approval ratings. Oh, so once he went down in the approval, so Korah now comes along and tells his cohorts, now's the time. Now's the time to strike, because we can muster the support of the people. So you see, the timing of Korach's argument as well was all calculated and done specifically after the parasha that we just read. Our rabbis tell us furthermore on this subject, talking about the Yan of Korach. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu prays to Borei Olam. Moshe Rabbeinu says, please God, I don't want Korach to die in a natural... Let's read this in the Pesukim, actually. Let's open up. So you see it yourselves on the... look what it says over here. Yeah, look at Pasuk Chaf Chet, 826. Vayomer Moshe bezot tede'un ki Hashem shelachani la'asot kol ma'asim ma'ele, ki lo melibi. Im kemot kol ha'adam yimutun elef. These people die a natural death. Ufkudat kol ha'adam yipaked aleihem. Lo Hashem shelachani. And you're right. If they die a natural death, I'm out. Vim biriya yivra Hashem. But if God creates a new creation, ufatzeta adama et pia, and the earth will open up its mouth, ubalea otam et kol shelahem, v'yadu haim shon, they're going to go get swallowed in, v'idaltem ki na'atzu anashim ha'ele teshem. Then you know already that the machloket was against God, and therefore that shows that they were wrong. Okay, v'yihi chichalotu ledaber, if he finishes his kodim ha'ele, v'tebaka adama shetan, the ground starts to shake, v'teftach ha'ares et pia, and all of a sudden opens its mouth, Vatevla otam ve'et batehem, and it swallows everything, even their homes. Ve'et kol ha'adam asher lekorah, ve'et kol ha'rechush, all the assets. Ve'yiridu hem ve'kol asher lemchayim. Everybody went down alive. They got swallowed, buried alive. Ve'techas aleihem ha'ares. Ve'yovedu mitoch ha'kal. That's it. They got destroyed. Ve'chol yisrael ha'shivotem. Everybody that was around the situation, nasu lekolam. They ran from their voices. Nasu lekolam. How did you explain that in the English there? That was around them, fled at their sound. As they said, ki ameru ki tibla'enu ha'aretz. They said, lest the earth swallow us. Now we have to understand exactly what happened over there. I'd like to offer a novel interpretation that I saw brought down from the Tosfot to set it over before. It seems simple explanation. Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen, here's the sign. God's going to create a new creation, something that never happened before. New creation in the world. And all of a sudden the ground opens up. They get swallowed. That's the proof that Moshe Rabbeinu was right. And then what? Everybody heard what's going on over here. They heard the screaming of the Korach people getting swallowed in the ground. They got scared. So they ran away. They ran away. Oh, we're going to get sucked into the sinkhole. So they ran for their lives. Question we have over here is, was this indeed a Biriyah Hadasha? Look at Masechet Avot, Pirkei Avot. It actually tells us that there were 10 items that were created on Friday afternoon, Ben Hashem Ashot. Right before Shabbat came in, God, like last minute items, there were 10 last minute items that were created right before Shabbat. One of them, for example, was Pi Ha'aton. That we're going to read in a few weeks from now. The mouth of Bil'am's donkey.
That already was already a donkey that was created from Shish Shemim Asim. The donkey was already prepared from that time already. One of the items that was created was the Be'er of Miriam. And there's reasons, according to the Kabbalah, why specifically these items. One of the other items was Pi Ha'aris. The ground, the sinkhole that's eventually going to swallow Korah. So the question really is, it wasn't a Biniyah Hadashah. It wasn't a new creation. It was there already. So technically, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't produce. He said, listen, you create a new item, an item that hasn't been around yet, then already it proves that I'm the guy. But if not, then already Korah, you're in. Oh, so what happened? The ground comes open? So Korah can take out a Pirkei Avot. Sorry, Moshe. Hello, this has been around over here. Pirkei Avot says that it was around from Shish Shemim Ma'aseh Bereshit. Strike one, try again. It's a good question. And if you look at the Pasuk, when Moshe Rabbeinu says it, he says, Ufatzeta Ha'adamah. That's a funny word. What does Ufatzeta mean? Don't get so excited, fellas, but the word Ufatzeta is a funny word. So he says over in the English, the ground will open its mouth. And we have an easier word for that, by the way. Upateha. Ufatzeta, you don't find that word too often, yeah? And then it says, when the people heard the sounds, they ran. Now I want to tell you something about human nature, by the way. Normally, human nature is, when there is commotion, people usually have curiosity and they run towards the commotion. Biggest proof is when a fire truck comes down your block, that's the only time you see your neighbors. You don't see any neighbors, by the way. You don't know who your neighbors are. How do you meet your neighbors? When somebody, God forbid, has a fire on the block, everybody comes out on the porch. Oh, you live on the block. I never saw you. Everybody sees each other. God forbid. But that, when the sirens are the best thing to get neighbors to meet each other. They come down the block, and everybody stands there, and they're hustling, they're analyzing what happened. So here, there's action. People screaming, people this, everybody wants to go look and see today. You have crazy people. Today when there's commotion, they're videoing it. You have guys that are chasing tornadoes. The guys in the middle of a Category 11 tornado. The thing's going to rip apart an entire state. And there's a guy with his camera, and he's walking around trying to chase a tornado in the most sakanat nefeshot. He does. He makes it like. So these people are like to run into the action. They're running away from the action. So this is what Tosfot Yom Tov says. It's an amazing thing. He says, no, the ground, we know the ground was there for shit. He knows the ground was there. He knows that that's not the B'riyah Hadasha. He said, but God, I want a new item. I want it to be that the ground talks. That it's going to be a talking ground. Ufatzeta. Like it says, Patsu alai pihin, which means, Fatzeta is a lashon when a person speaks, when a person verbalizes something. So the Tosfot Yom Tov says, you know what happened? All of a sudden the ground started to talk. Come here, Korah. 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 Come close. We're going to swallow you up. You troublemaker. You fought against Moshe Rabbeinu. Bo'upkan belu'e Korah. So all of a sudden, that was already a new creation. Now it happened when the people heard the void, the words of the ground. The ground is talking over here. So now already it says, Nasu lekolam, not that they ran away. Nasu lekolam, to the voice of the ground, they ran towards it. They wanted to see what's going to happen over here. On the contrary, this was, the ground itself, they know they're not going to get swallowed in this, because they said, we're not from Korah's group over here. But when they saw the ground talk over there, this was an exceptional item. So you see already a new Hadush over here. Right, that's what they call them. They ran towards the hole over there to hear the ground talking itself. That's why the question they ask is, Rabbeinu leveled two punishments on this. Some of the people got swallowed in the ground. Some of them got burnt. Fire pains. They took funds that were against Moshe Rabbeinu. They burnt. The fire came down from the heaven. And right? So it says Moshe Rabbeinu was actually from both groups. He was from the Bilu'im. And he was from the Sirufim. Got double punishment. The Farshim say, why does Korah have to suffer? Farshim say like this. Rabbeinu, why do you get so excited against Korah? His excitement was not personal. Even though Korah was personal. He was going after Moshe Rabbeinu personally. But Moshe Rabbeinu was coming to bend the Torah. He says, forget about my kibbutz. If you want to come after me, you want to call me names, you want to call me a nepotist, you want to get me involved, blah, my kibbutz, I can be mohel. But the kibbutz of the Torah, you're coming to question the veracity of the Torah Shema. You're coming to question God's appointment. You're coming to question all of what happened at Har Sinai. That's what Qur'an was doing over here. He's questioning the whole tradition. Because once already he said that Moshe Rabbeinu was making up things, he made up this law, maybe he made up that halakha. You're questioning the way I taught you mitzvah sesit. He's questioning the laws of mezuzah. Now already the whole oral tradition Qur'an is putting in jeopardy. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, what you did to me, I have no problem. But what you did to the Torah, I have to fight you on. And therefore, Korach got two punishments. He got burned. That was his punishment, what?
To Moshe.
To Moshe Rabbeinu. To Moshe, because it says, Eve Zahid Begahalatan. The person goes against them. They're from their coals, so you don't burn yourself. So therefore, he got too close to the coals, he burnt. He got swallowed in the ground. That was his punishment for what he did against the Torah. So which means you have over here a double punishment. That's why it says, when they heard Korach in the ground screaming, Moshe Emet, Vetorato Emet. Two things over here. Number one, Moshe Emet. That's the sin of that he went against Moshe. And number two, Torato Emet. So there were two different sins over here. Therefore, he got one, he got swallowed on the ground. That was the sin for the Torah. And he got burned for fighting against Moshe. But Moshe Emet didn't care about that part. That wasn't his idea. He was just defending the Torah itself, because Moshe Emet was the most humble of men. Now, this explanation I heard once from the Gemara says, Torah was a great man. Argument. He was a wise man. But I was a Baal Ruach HaKodesh. The man had divine way from him. The man saw things. The great, great, great grandfather of Shmuel Levi. So no, you cannot take away the credit that Korah was a great. What happened? Older man as well. But he got involved in this machloket. Korah. Takah Atzmo. Took himself. Stand on the other side against Moshe. Now, how does a person take himself? He takes himself. Takah Atzmo. I could take you. I could hoax you. I could on you. I could verbally, seduce a person. But what does it mean? He took himself. I saw from one of the great rabbis. He said, really, Korach, to take himself because he himself really was not prone to make such a sin. Korach says, there are a few people despised by God. One of the people that are despised by God is Dal Ge'eh. Dal Ge'eh is somebody that's poor, arrogant. Arrogance, but I understand it. But you're a poor guy, you have no food, bezor, you have clothes. You're going to be arrogant? It's against your nature, which means you went and you took a Yetzer Hara that's not your Yetzer Hara, and you grabbed it, you took it. That's not your item. That shouldn't affect you. One of the items that says that I'm angry also, Zaken min ha'if. You have an old man that commits adultery. Young man commits adultery. But when an old man commits adultery, I hate him already. There's that stain. You're old man. Now, when a person is an old man and commits adultery, what does that mean? He must have brought it upon himself. There's two ways for a person to commit sin. Either he has the yitzhak in him, or he cultivates it. An old man already, you don't have that yitzhak anymore, ready for adultery. Already up your pants, that's he's not a young guy of 18 years old, he has the hot passion. Eight guys 90 years old, he got 100 years old, he's got adultery now. And the explanation is what?
It was in him?
No. You have to cultivate it, obviously. Which is he went after it. Which is you're not, he went out of his way to go get it. An 18 year old don't got to go out of his way, it's in his system already. You understand? And a rich man doesn't got to go after Gava. Gava's in his system. A poor man, he's got to go get it. So they say, Vayikach Korach. Korach himself was such a good man, he was devoid from all these. But once already there was jealousy, he took himself to the years. Vayikach Korach lakach atzmo. Which means he himself was not worthy to commit such a sin based on his age, based on his position. Which means he had all the kavod he had. Money he had, all the good things in his life he had. But what? He brought himself. Sometimes one rabbi said, I don't have a problem if people have troubles in their life. But what bothers me is the troubles that people bring on themselves. Which means everybody has Gehinnam on their lives. But there's no mitzvah to bring Gehinnam onto you. Don't create troubles. So that's what Korach himself, he brought this on himself. He didn't need this mahalokin. It wasn't like he was lacking something that therefore He needed to. He had everything a person that could want in his life. By Yikakor, it's still he paid a physical debt. He took himself. He threw himself into the machloket himself. Now that being said, if we go just one step further towards the middle of the parasha, it says that there was a two people. They were part of the group. They're always part of the group. Anytime you see trouble against Moshe Rabbeinu, you know that Tam V'Aminam are involved. Guaranteed. They're automatic. What happens? Designated it always. They're designated to fight against Moshe Rabbeinu. But looking for a fight? You know, the Tam V'Aminam, they're in. They're always willing to play ball. That wasn't the game. Come along and... We're not coming to talk to you. We're not coming up. Our rabbis tell us, Al tiftach pe la satan. Never... Open your mouth to the... Careful what you say. Words have power. Curse yourself. Kafahim says you're not even supposed to say, if you don't behave, a dog is going to come and bite you. Because you open your mouth, God forbid it could happen. You're never supposed to say anything that's Chas v'Shalom, because once a person says it, it's almost as if the words are contractual, which is like a contract. You said it, God forbid it could happen. The words create a reality. So the rabbis tell us, how did they answer Moshe Rabbeinu? They answered in an arrogant way. Moshe Rabbeinu says, come up, I want to talk to you. Lo na'aleh, we're not coming up. That's exactly what happened. They got swallowed in the ground. They stayed down. The rabbis are telling us, be careful what you say, because it's going to happen. That's why a person should be very careful. Never to talk to him about themselves. I can kill myself. Don't say that. I want to commit suicide. Don't talk like, even though we have the way, I wanted to kill him. Don't say those words. There was a great rabbi, lived 300 years ago. Amenuel Chayreki. Great Sefaradi rabbi. Wrote many Sefarim. One of the Sefarim he wrote was one Mishnayot. The name of the Sefer was Diktuke Aliyut. The humble man. The Hadushim of the... impoverished Hadushim. You don't want to say it's Hadushim a great. He called it Diktuke Aniyut. What happened to the great rabbi? He became a poor man. He himself says, because I named my book Diktuke Aniyut. Wow. So later he changed the book to Hon Va'oshir. He changed the name of the book. Because he didn't want to lose the item.
He was doing it to be humble, rabbi?
Yeah. You see over here, Al-Tiftach Pe'el Satan. He wanted to be by me, but he called it Diktuke Aniyut.
But he wants to be humble.
Doesn't matter. You don't say the negative thing. There was... One rabbi, I heard a story yesterday, talking about Rav Chida. Da wrote 68 books. Gematria Hayim. His name is Hayim. Hayim is 68. He wrote 68 books, the numerical value of his name. Three books, however, were never published. Three out of the 68. Three books were Organus, He'elem Davar, and Hadre Batin. So there was one rabbi called Rav Matzliach Mazuz. He said, because the names... caused them not to be printed. Or Ganuz is the hidden one. Ganuz is hidden. He'alem Davar is the item that is concealed. And Hadre Batin is the item that's deep in the stomach. These names over here cause the books not to be printed. So you know, Al Tiftach Peh La Satan. Because he called the names, like we said earlier in the Derasha, Shema Garim. Last but not least, you see over here from this Perasha as well, the Anyan. Bekach ra laka la'asmo. That's for himself. He didn't take anything. Headache for himself. Yeah, but let's know. Bekach ra. He took an acquisition that was a bad acquisition. He got involved in a bad deal. Yeah. Bad deal. Vayikach korach mekach ra laka la'asmo. He got a bad transaction. Says the Ben Ishai, what was the bad transaction? Says like this. A person commits a sin. A sin may be. But there's always a way for him to extricate himself. Two ways. Either make teshuvah. Every time I say it, I got to look it over to make sure. All his mitzvot. There's a transaction that takes place. Oh, that guy over there, he's a good for nothing. He's a this and that. And that. All of a sudden, all your mitzvot go to him, and he gives you all the avirot. He says it. I don't know the mechanics of it. I don't know why it should work that way. But he says, one time there was a great guy. He sends his friend a beautiful, $1,000 gorgeous item. Guy comes along and says, I understand what you gave me this gift for, but I never did anything. He says, No. Maybe you spoke Lashon Hara. I took more Averot, and I got, I got to reciprocate. I can't just take for nothing. Please, thank you. I'll just take this. It's talking about my appreciation over here. So he says, it's an amazing item over here, which means it really happens. But it says like this, There are certain people not to talk lashon hara. But those guys, they get stuck. They can never unload the averot on anybody because not to talk about them. One of the groups of people that get machloket, that are involved in making machloket and making, you know, fights with people and all that over there, says ba'alei machloket mutarim ledabi. You could speak on them because these are bad people. So therefore, Korach, it says mekach ra'laka. He took a bad transaction. He got involved with the wrong sin. If he would have committed any other sin, there would have been a chance that somebody else could have picked it up. But because he got involved in machloket, even if they're going to speak about him, which we're doing today, the avera stays on Korach. He can never get rid of it. So again, it says bov shebarofim inam. Best of the doctors goes to Gehinnom. Doctors over here? So, there are many interpretations. Some want to say, like, Baruch Al Hashem Yisrael, his doctor, when he prays the Amidah, he prays all the berachot. If God's going to cure all the people, the guy's out of business. The guy, no more business. So he skips the Amidah. So instead of praying 18 berachot, he prays 17 berachot. Tov is 17. Tov shebarofim. The doctor that only says Tov berachot, 17 berachot, the Gehinnom. What? Because you want to make me, there's enough goyim. We have to get the Jewish people. You'll get paid something good. What do you got to not pray for people? That's one. Another interpretation that they say is because the best of the doctors, successful, life and death is in his hand. He thinks, I gave the guy life. I brought him back. It was me. He thinks he already has divine powers. And therefore he forgets that Borei Olam is the one that gave the doctor the success. One time a fellow came back to me, I don't know if I'm going to live till tomorrow. He gave you 6 months. Which means a doctor has no right. He was sick. What does he know? Life and death is not according to the doctor. But that's they become so arrogant that they're ready. He's not going to make it. How many stories here, even the community, where the doctor said it's over, the guy made it over here. Hey, people, that happens a lot of times over there. So you see, when the doctor gets too arrogant, Tov Shemarofim, the Gehinnom. There's enough Gehinnom for them over there. They'll wave the copay when he goes to Gehinnom. In any event, I saw another interpretation. Jokes, the Dvarei Torah. The one line is we can't miss. In any event, another interpretation. The best doctor. This doctor's a spiritual doctor. Guy has all Averot. There's only one guy that can clean him. You know who can clean him? No, the guy who speaks Lashon Hara. He's the best doctor in the world. I can extricate all your sins from you. How? I can say, oh, this guy over here, he's a good for nothing over there. So I take all your sins. Tov Shemarofim. He's no question. He's the best of the doctors. But where does he end up? Gehinnom. Because he ends up with all the sins. The best of the doctors is the one that speaks Lashon Hara about people. Because he's healing everybody. Everybody walks away, bereft from all their sins. Tov Shemarofim, he did great. You healed me, doc. But what? That best of the doctors, well, he did good for everybody else, but again, that was Korach's problem. You got involved in the wrong sin, because you're allowed to talk about people that are involved in machloket. Oh, so therefore, there's no way you'll ever be extricated. That's why exactly Korach gets punished. Amen.